This is CliffCentral.com.
I want to try something. I've been thinking too much. I'm going to try something fun.
I've been thinking too much. Help me. I've been thinking too much.
This is Touch Central.
Oh, did you like that? Did you like that, Mubs? Did that work for you?
Yeah, yeah, that'll do.
Welcome to Touch Central HD. It's HD radio on steroids.
Ah, nice.
Welcome to Touch Central.
All right.
To Touch Central.
Brand new!
All right, I need the horn. Where's the horn? Is this it? There we go. I haven't had that before. Now I've got one. Woo! Stealing from Touch's stuff. This is fun. I could play with this stuff all day, except I think it would bore my audience to death. What I know won't bore the audience to death this morning, what you won't be unimpressed with, is Stilo Magolide. It's very nice to meet you, man. First of all, Pashida, who is from Mozambique, says, ah, my homeboy. Well, she says she's from Mozambique, but like she's from here. But she was originally from Mozambique, so she's trying to claim a whole lot here. Listen to her going crazy. Are you going crazy for this? She loves you. She loves you. All right. She heard you were coming here, Stilo, so look at her. She's the most excited I've ever seen her.
Yo, it was wild.
How are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Nice
to see you.
Nice to see you. Yeah.
Yeah,
now
listen.
First time I've met you.
It is the first time we've met, but obviously your reputation precedes you, which is fantastic because you spent a long time building it. You've,
yes.
You've been in music. You've been in fashion.
Yes.
You are the go-to guy for the whole rap game when they want to, first of all, style themselves,
mm-hmm.
when they want to get in touch with the best in street culture. You are the dude.
Thank you.
How the hell did you get to this position?
I think it all started with a gap year after matric. It was like literally tried to do BCom accounting and I was like, after first semester, I'm really bored. So let me just take a gap year and maybe see what happens there. Took a gap year, did a bit of like a retail or whatever.
What does that mean? Like
working
in a shop?
Yeah, working in a shop. Found a really cool store to work at, which was Amakipkip, and that was the go-to store for all the rappers.
Right.
And that being the go-to store for all the rappers, and I was the go-to guy for all the gear.
The best I could do in that shop was t-shirts. I had a black t-shirt with yellow Amakipkip writing on it, but you know, I couldn't do more than that because then I'd look like a douchebag.
I can imagine.
Yeah,
but there was a lot of things.
I can promise you it's true.
There was probably a lot of things that you could wear if you just like, if you consulted with me.
You know what I mean? But you weren't in there for long, right?
No. I was in there for maybe about a year or two max. And then from there, a guy called Jamie, he's like a director. He came to the store and he was like, dude, I think you'd be cool for a reality show. I was like, never, dude. Me, TV is not a real thing.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, dude, trust me. A reality show would be, you'd really kill it. And this was Cream Cartel. And he was like, dude, I want you to come to this audition. Let me know if you're into it. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll come. But I'm not promising that this is actually a real thing. Got there. And apparently me being myself was what they were looking for, and then I got casted for the show, and that was the beginning of the entertainment side of it.
That's terrific. You're basically headhunted.
Yes.
I mean, and everybody's, well, not everybody's, but a lot of people's dream is to be on television doing a reality show.
True.
And in reality TV, as you rightly point out, it's really just you being yourself that's going to work.
True.
People don't want an actor.
And that's what happened. And it was like with season one, when everybody was themselves and everything was organic, it was incredible. It was, it knocked the ball out the park. We had some incredible moments when we went to OP. It was incredible. Like a lot of authentic moments that happened in season one. And then with season two, a lot more money was coming in and producers and directors were getting nervous and saying, okay, cool, let's maybe script it a bit to make it more exciting.
That's when it goes
wrong. Yeah, then it started going wrong, getting tricky, and it was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore.
You know, why is it that people stop, they forget the reason that they're successful, and they try to, I don't know, they lose confidence.
Yeah, because now there's a lot more opinions. It's like now there's a lot more.
But these days with social media, you could get 2 million opinions in 5 seconds if you wanted them.
True.
But unless you know what you're doing, unless you believe in what you're doing, those opinions aren't going to make you successful.
The bots are scary.
Right.
The bots on Twitter, on Facebook.
Even the real people are scary.
Yeah, like real people get more scarier. It's like, but the bots are so scary because you don't know who's behind those 140 characters. You know what I mean? You don't know how strong they are with those 140 characters. So when they just start going at you, there's so much room for you to get clumsy and start making mistakes. You know what I mean?
There isn't one person in the history of conversations since social media came into the fore. There isn't one person who is universally loved. Everybody has haters.
Everybody has haters. Everybody.
So if you go out with the intent and purpose of being universally popular, you're on a hiding to nothing, right?
It's not a real thing. And you can't really do it. And I guess everybody now in the world can be a rapper because everybody has haters and they can actually drop that bar. I don't like my haters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So meet some like primary school teacher.
Yeah.
She's teaching 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds and she's like, I got haters.
Everybody got haters. Everybody got haters. And it's wild when you start seeing like primary school teachers in proactive on social media. Yeah. You know, my day today, John was kicking the chair over and then he stole whoever's pencil.
Next time I kick him in his balls. Little balls. All right, now listen.
Yeah.
With rap, you say everyone is a rapper, and you know what? I do look around at the moment, and hip hop and rap are on the ascendant at the moment. They definitely are the most powerful genre in South Africa, right? And it's growing beautifully, and there's a lot of people doing a lot of impressive things, a lot of people making a lot of money.
True.
But very few, like in any other entertainment event, industry, avenue, sector.
Mm-hmm.
There are only a few who actually make it to consider themselves and to be considered by everybody else to be successful.
True.
So for every one really great rapper in South Africa, there are probably 200 guys underneath them who are trying to get ahead.
True. I always say like there's like it's tiered up in 3 tiers. You get a rapper, you get an artist, and then you get somebody that's trying to do either or to just they're just trying to do it. They don't know what it is. They love it, but they're just trying to do it. They actually don't have – they're not an actual rapper or an artist.
And for a lot of them, it's about the hype, right?
True.
It's got nothing to do with – and they're probably not very skilled rappers. They don't really know very much about music.
And that's the crazy balance about the two, which is the rapper – a rapper's rapper is the guy that's just a really good writer and just makes rap songs. And then the artist is the one that finds the beauty in making the art and the music and connecting to people and crossing and like breaking boundaries. That's the artist. That's like just constantly challenging himself to do things that have never been done before.
It's like a self-expression
thing,
right?
And then in 10 years from now, that guy will still be doing it because he wasn't making rap songs. He wasn't chasing a rap career. He was chasing an art career.
He's walking around clubs in a big gold chain and
you know what I
buying
mean?
Bottles.
And getting like all green because his chain is fake.
That happens.
It does happen.
That is a terrible, terrible
because
thing.
Because the older you get, just the more your skin starts reacting to fake stuff.
Like fake rappers with fake chains. That's going to be the worst.
All right.
But let's just talk for a second because I've got some of your songs here as well. You want to? Is this going to be a first exclusive premiere? Or
yes. Okay. Yes. When I found out that I'm actually being interviewed by you, I was like, I need to give you an exclusive.
Well, the feeling is mutual. So what can we do here? Shall we go with Day Off?
We can start with Day Off.
What do you want to do?
Let's start with Day Off. Let's warm them up.
All right. Let's do Day Off. Here is Stilo Magolide with Day Off. Take a listen to this. This is the first time you will have heard this anywhere. Who else has heard this? Just you guys in the studio?
Yeah.
Wow. What your manager? Just get your manager up here to this microphone. She's very mouthy this morning.
She is.
What's she got to say? What's her name?
Anthea.
Anthea.
Anthea knows
what's
best.
Definitely lying. It's not the first time you'll hear Day Off.
Sugar Me says the first time. That's why we're warming them up with Day Off.
Stila, why are you lying to me?
I'm not lying to you. Sugar Me, you're making me nervous. Sugar Me says the first time. That's the exclusive.
Start with that.
You see, a manager knows what she's talking about.
Anthea does know best.
Must I take your word for it?
Yes.
All right. How long have you been managing this guy?
Uh-huh.
I guess like 2.5 years, maybe.
Wow, that's a long relationship to have in the music business.
In any business.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'm impressed with that. And how did you guys meet each other?
How did you meet me, Anthea?
In the DMs. He was DMing me the whole time. And then
It all goes down in the DMs.
It
went down in the DMs.
And you spotted that this was a very, very talented person that you think you could do something for and you could work with.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh.
He wasn't. He hadn't even really started doing music that much.
What's your background?
Research. So, like, research, strategy. So he started doing that, and someone asked him to do something, and he didn't know how much to charge for it. And I was like, "How are you going to invoice?" And he was like, "I don't know what's an invoice." And then
he's a proper artist. This guy doesn't care about that stuff.
It was more like an admin assistant than anything in the beginning.
Yeah, well, that's the stuff a lot of creative people need help with in the beginning, because you don't want to prioritize invoices and stuff. So you need someone who can.
Because it gets
that.
Awkward. It's like, how much do I charge you? And it's like, I actually don't want to have this conversation.
And you're going, what VAT? What? How does that work?
Yeah, and it's like VAT, and then VAT number, and I'm like. Awkward.
Yeah, you're like, I don't have a VAT number. What are you talking about?
And Anthea's got all the answers.
Right. Yeah. Well, lucky him that he found you as well, huh?
No, plus the password to the bank account.
Oh, yes. You got the password?
Yes.
Oh, that's trust. See, I don't know how many artists in South Africa, first of all, have a manager. A lot of them have agents who do their bookings and things.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't have a manager. Yeah. And the manager is the secret ingredient here to making a long-term success of your career.
True.
Do you also help him manage the brand and all of that stuff?
I'm like his life manager.
Yeah, yeah. She manages my
whole
entire life.
He's like, phone the landlord and ask her to bring something.
What kind of percentage is Anthea here getting out of you?
Well, my life.
20%?
My whole life.
15?
She gets
Come
like
on,
my
what's
whole
the,
life.
I'm what's
not
the,
saying anything.
20, right? 20 is a fair.
That's the standard, but this is like way more because this is like a life deal. This
she
is a life contract.
She sounds worth it.
Yeah, she's definitely worth it.
Let's just say my birthday is coming.
Okay.
So we're waiting to see what the gift
and
situation is.
And he's
going
to have to buy you, a yacht?
Where are we looking I'm looking for the gold chain.
The one that's not going to make your neck turn.
Exactly.
What did you get from him for your birthday last year?
Nothing. He was fighting with me, so nothing.
Well,
do you guys fight a lot? Because the best management and artist relationships are full of argument.
We fight a lot.
Non-stop.
About
fighting.
Dumb things or about big important things?
Like this morning, I was like, we have to go at 7 because there's too much traffic. He was like, no, 7:30. And then we fought and ended at 7:15, came at 7:25. And then that's why we got the phone call. Like, where are you guys?
Well, we're just, we're paranoid. We didn't want to get out of
jail. So we fight every day.
But this is pretty cool. I mean, you're also managing someone who is not doing just one thing. You know, he's putting out songs, he's performing, he's doing the styling stuff, he's out there, he knows about the world, he's almost a resource for other people.
You know what the biggest thing is? I know that he never fails at anything. So if he decides he wants to do it,
that's a big compliment.
Then I can get behind it because I know he'll do it.
Thank you.
It's real.
You look after this woman. She seems like she's very good.
I got her.
And you look after him. Don't let him go and end up doing a nude calendar or something stupid.
Oh my gosh, I try.
Okay, let's start then with Shugumisa.
Shugumisa, right? Yes.
All right, let's do this. This is this one no one has heard before.
No one has heard
Even before. Your manager agrees.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Anthea. Let's take a listen to this. Everybody get ready. This is going to blow your mind. Let me just understand what the name is. Shugumisa. Shugumisa.
Yeah.
Okay, they spelt it wrong in here.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Shake.
Okay. Shugumisa. And this is an original and a first time you will ever have heard this from Stilo. All right? Let's take a listen. Here it is. Let's go. Very cool. Stilo Magolide with Shugumisa. Very nice. This is cool. I like this a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Now listen, let's talk about the styling for a second.
Yeah.
When you meet, is it mostly musicians?
Mostly musicians.
Mostly rappers.
I started styling to the whole point of styling for me was that I used to watch music videos and be like, oh, our local rappers are so terrible at dressing themselves. let me lend a helping hand. Right. And that's what I did, and then it became a thing, and then went from styling all of South Africa's top rappers to into Africa.
Who are we talking about here? Name some names.
From Josie to Les's breakout career to AKA to Kulichana.
Wow. Covered it all.
Pretty much everybody all the way till...
What did AKA look like before you got hold of him? Was he a disaster?
Well, he was terrible. His shoes were really tight. Like, he literally strangled his shoes. Like, it was terrible. His jeans were too tight.
Yeah.
I think he went back to that. Right. Yeah, because now I'm not styling him anymore. But my offspring of stylists have helped put out a helping hand as well. Such as like Storm McHustle, he's part of like the offspring of stylists that came out of Stilo Makolite kind of vibes. And then I started styling like your Wiz Kids, your Nato C's. And I think my peak for styling when I stopped styling was when I did the Channel Low Awards.
Yeah.
Did that whole production and I was like, well, there's nothing else I can do.
No,
I'm done. So let me try something else.
How important is it to know in a career like yours when you got to quit, when you're at the top and you have to get out? Because a lot of people will carry on and on and on forever, and everybody gets bored with them and it's enough. How do you know when it's time to jump?
It's how I feel. It's like when I think it's boring, when it gets too much, I think you just either take a break or just reevaluate or try an extension. Whatever you're doing, let's figure out an extension. And that's like with the styling, it was like mostly music videos. And it was like, okay, cool. For music videos, what can we do that's an extension of what we're doing that could make it more exciting? And it was, let's try a production. And production was the Channel O Awards. And I was like, I wouldn't go into like styling movies or anything because that's not, unless we do a hip hop movie, you know what I mean?
What about if rich people call you up and they go, hey, I saw you style the Channel O Awards, can you help me? I'll give you R100,000, just come around and help me.
I still consult a lot. I don't personally style anymore, but I still consult a lot. There's a lot of
Ever had like white people say to me, you know, you need me to I need some street cred here. I need you to help me dress properly.
I've had some white people ask for some help. You know, I won't name any names.
No, you don't have to name that. But it's white people think that they know what they're doing, but then they look douchey.
True. I've helped a lot of like white people do their thing. You know.
They now need all the help they can get.
Now they're on the first floor in Sandton City, just making sure they're shopping.
Right. As a stylist, how do you convince the person that you're trying to style that something is working for them when they're not comfortable in it, or they're not feeling it, or they're not convinced that they can pull it off?
So the first step to being a stylist is actually understanding who the person you're dealing with is. You know what I mean? Kind of get their character, what they're into. Do you know what I mean? Almost as deep as to what food they like eating. And then you can actually figure out what kind of clothes they need to wear in order to embody that whole character. Because clothes are not like, it's not just, oh, this is a trend, let me wear that. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I remember when I started wearing, like, for example, skinny jeans. You know what I mean? This is like in 06. People are looking at me like, I'm crazy. Like, what are you doing? But I was like, dude, it doesn't make sense for me to wear a bomber jacket.
First time I saw skinny jeans, I thought, what the hell's going on here? It took me a long time to catch on.
Do you know what I mean?
But you said you were wearing them and people were reacting.
Yeah, people were like, what are you doing? But at the time, this is when like brands like Ed Hardy were starting to filter into the country, and that kind of look was coming into the country. Uh-huh. And I was like, it didn't make sense to wear a t-shirt like that with jeans like that. Your jeans can't be super baggy because you start looking weird. Like, there's no balance. You know what I mean? Because it's all about silhouettes. If your shadow doesn't look right, then what makes you think you look right?
You have to spend a lot of money to be styled properly?
Not really, but if you want to be styled by me, you need to.
Okay, so who drops the most cash when they go shopping for an outfit? Are there big spenders in South Africa?
Not necessarily. Everybody thinks it's super cheap. In their minds, they're like, "Oh no, I could look great for $5,000." I'm like, "Well, for $5,000, you can get a jean and a t-shirt."
Yo,
Or maybe a
pair
of jeans. Don't,
we should not go shopping with this man.
No, definitely.
He's way out of our league.
No, it's definitely. Because one thing you need to realize, especially with clothes, is that a pair of denims, when you buy one pair of jeans, they're supposed to last you a lifetime.
Right.
They're not lasting you a look or an event. Okay. A lifetime.
So you don't need 200 pairs of jeans?
No, definitely not. You need about 10.
What does your cupboard look like at home? How much stuff? You've got a huge walk-in closet with like 5,000 different pairs of jeans, 9,000 shoes.
Well, not yet, but it's on its way there. Like definitely about like...
But isn't that overwhelming?
Because 300-400 pairs of sneakers.
Really?
Yeah.
And you stand in front of your cupboard and you're like, what the hell am I going to wear today?
That's a tough one, but you just keep it simple. You're like, okay, this is my rotation for like the next 3 months.
Stupid.
Maybe I do need you in my life. All right, so you go to shops. What's the most expensive stuff that you've bought for yourself, and what's the most expensive stuff you've told a client to buy you?
Most expensive stuff I bought for myself was probably a Phenomenon X MCM jacket. Bought at a Phenomenon store in Hong Kong.
Mm.
And that's about, the value of that right now is at least about $15,000 to $16,000.
Yo.
Because it's not
$15,000 to $16,000.
Yeah, because it's
dollars.
After that range, it never came out again. Like Phenomenon stopped producing clothes after that.
Yeah.
So
if someone broke into your house and stole that, that would be like someone walking into an art gallery and taking a very expensive painting off the wall.
Low key, because it's like a lot of it is not stuff that wasn't the price when I bought it, but it appreciates with time. So there's certain clothing items that appreciate with time.
Very few though, right?
Yeah, very
most,
few.
Most
yeah.
clothing becomes yeah. less and less valuable.
True. It's like a lot of like I've got like the first pair of Yeezy ones that came out with Nike. That about those are about like 16,000-17,000 rand.
Yo.
You know, so and just the Yeezys alone is about I got like 4 pairs of Yeezys. So 16. There's another one that's 18. And
Michael Flex, I can see that you're excited about this.
You know, I'm actually wearing the Yeezys as we speak. Yeah. Like walking on clouds.
Come in, yes. come in here yes. and show us your Yeezys. Let's.
I'm not sure which edition
fact,
this is, but
in fact, I'll tell you what.
I saw it's the 350s.
Oh my gosh! You saw them and you just knew. Yeah, huh?
Let's have a quick appraisal of Flex's whole outfit today. You tell us what you think of this.
This is a nice outfit.
We need to know.
You did it well, man. We'll see you out there.
All right. Yeah. He's looking all right?
Yeah, he's looking good.
All right.
Yeah.
He is trying to grow a whole top knot thing. Would you recommend that for a guy like
Well,
Flex?
You've got the ultimate. You've got the king of all top knots. You got like your dreads tied up in like a bun on top of your head. It looks fantastic. Flex, if you could look like that, you would, right?
You know, I was actually considering doing dreads, but I heard they are such high maintenance. Like you can't wash
Please
your hair and
don't.
Stuff.
Please don't do that.
Well, just you need to go to a hairdresser. Like, don't do it. Don't
try and do it on your own.
Don't do it on your own.
Oh, all right, Stilo, here's a message from Tabo. He says, Stilo, why are you so hardcore? Are you very hardcore? Or are you?
I'm not hardcore. I'm just real.
That. Yeah, I don't get
You know what I mean?
Impression.
I think a lot of people look at me and say, oh, he's so hardcore. He has. I'm just like, I'm myself. I can't be anybody else but myself. It's always easier to be myself because I can keep up with myself.
Tabo is basically saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then Ompile says, what's your relationship with Scoop Makatin?
Oh, that's my pops. He's like my dad, man.
Yeah.
He's my big homie. And the crazy thing is that for the longest time, we didn't get along. You know what I mean? And our relationship kind of just like... We just
how did you
gravitate
and why didn't you get along?
Was it just egos clashing or what was happening there?
No, it was I don't know what it was, but it was just like we'd never got along. Cause crazy thing about Scoop is that when I first met Scoop, he was my boss at Ama Keep because he was like 50% owner of the company.
Right.
And then the only thing we could ever speak about was clothes, and that was that. We had nothing else we didn't think we had anything else in common, and we didn't vibe. You know, and then we're in Boys and Bucks together, which is extra awkward,
right?
Because we're like, how are we in Boys and Bucks together? Because, okay, then that's like weird still. Then all of a sudden, nowadays we like, yo, we can't go a day without phoning each other.
That's
like
awesome.
That's like
it's like your brother.
Yeah, he's like that's why I call him my pops.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Because he's like, he's one of those people. I feel like he's so real to himself that he's unbeatable in what he does. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's irreplaceable in what he does because he's so real to himself. And no, there's so many, they can bring so many replicas to try to do it, but it's never going to be Scoop.
And your own clothing line, how's that going?
That's been on pause for a little bit because of the music. The music's been taking up so much of my time, so mm-hmm. much of my energy. But we're looking to relaunch real soon. We're definitely going to be dropping stuff for 2017. I know there's a lot of people who have loved us and then turned around to hating us. And
is it a profitable business? I mean, clothing lines, you know, sometimes it's almost more trouble than it's worth. Like, you need to get into the right stores. There's a lot of commercial stuff that goes into this. It has nothing to do with the creative parts.
And also just the big companies are starting to just like, when it's cool, if it's a cool design, they take the cool design, mass produce it, put their own branding, and that's that. But it's profitable.
Do you make money out of that then?
Because then they turn around and hire you.
Yeah.
They want you to work for them. And right. It's like, well, I don't want to wake up at 6 in the morning.
I don't want to be a salary earner.
Yeah, I don't want to be at your shop.
Is it true that you financed pretty much everything in your career yourself so far?
Yes.
Like you've...
Yes.
You're not going from job to job trying to get a paycheck out of someone else. Everything you've done on your own.
Yes.
Now that really impresses me.
Everything we've ever done with the Stilo Makolita brand has come out of my pocket and Anthea's pocket.
Anthea's looking sad about her pocket.
Yeah, she's proud.
But you've got to be proud of that, right?
Yeah, we've definitely, and we're really proud of that. You know what I mean? Everything we've ever done is literally out of our own pockets, and that's why it's got so much value to us, and that's why we don't want to just sell it off just to be in the big mix and just say, oh, now we're relevant with you guys. It's like,
you know, David Bowie was the first artist to actually list himself as a business on the stock exchange.
Wow.
He listed the David Bowie brand on the stock market.
That's line. Powers.
Yeah, and that took everybody by surprise. They didn't know what to do with it. He made a lot of money out of that.
That is powers.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing you could do because you've got product.
Yeah.
Whether it's music, whether it's the clothes, whether it's the expertise, like we said, whether it's the experience.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot to throw into this.
Yeah, there's a lot... And it's just, and for me, I always look at it as like an Android. It's just gonna keep on growing. It's because one of the most profound quotes that I've ever heard, even though the person who said it is not the most amazing person in the world, but that was a really smart thing for him to say.
What?
He said, "Adapt and dominate." Mm. So, and that's what an Android is. It literally adapts and dominates each and every realm that it goes into. It adapts and dominates, adapts and dominates, and that's what we're just trying to do.
You're in an interesting position because you're friends with a lot of these rappers. You could even say that you're influential among them.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's unfair to say.
That is very fair to say.
And I was talking to JR the other day. He was in here.
Oh, yeah. JR as well.
Right. And we were talking, we were talking about how the whole rap business in South Africa works and how some of these beef situations that develop between artists. Mm. Are not always interesting to everyone else in the business. Do you ever get involved in that stuff? I mean, you work closely with AKA. Do you ever get into the Casper Your Vest, AKA?
Do you pick sides?
Fracar.
I don't pick sides. I pick business. You know what I mean? I don't pick sides. Like, I'm cool with Casper and them. You know what I mean? Like, I performed at Philip the Dome or whatever.
Right.
And we're cool. And Ricky's my friend, and he's friends with Casper, so that makes sense. And obviously, because of that lineage, the other side prefers to stay away, you know what I mean? And also, they stay away for their own reasons because from a business perspective, AK is not one of the best businessmen, you know what I mean? Like, he's a really good artist. Like, that's fair. It's like, he's a really good artist, and I give him that.
Sure.
One of the best artists in the country, but not the very best businessman, you know what I mean? Like, his business sense is very sketchy, you know? So,
We met PH for the first time the other day as well. He's cool.
Yeah, PH is really cool. Oh. PH, the DJ or the producer?
No, the DJ.
The DJ, PH is really cool. And his career is, it's wild.
And you know Capital? He has a show here as well.
Capital.
Right. Okay, so you're going to do this Superbalist in the City.
Yes.
Presents the Virgin Mobile Brahm Beach Party.
Ooh.
This is happening 7 to 9 October. That's this weekend.
Yeah.
Judah Street in Braamfontein. And it is hip-hop house urban. It starts 3:30 in the afternoon, and it goes on until midnight.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Listen,
prices at 150 rand a ticket. And you can see AKA Ricky Rick, DJ Tira. Tira's cool, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's really cool.
Stilo Magolide, PH, DJ Capital. Shakina's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Looks really cool. Brom Beach Party. That's the hashtag. Make sure you go.
Yeah.
When is that happening again?
This weekend.
This weekend on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Brum seems to be, a lot of things seem to be happening in Brum. A lot of exciting things happening in Brum.
It used to be such a shitty place.
Yeah, it's an amazing place right now. It's like, it's the go-to place for all kids that are trying to do something different, or experience something different, or explore a different avenue other than what's being told to them in a classroom.
It used to be Newtown, and then it was in certain places, you know, it was more sort of spread out.
Yeah.
Like there used to be parts of Soweto where you could have these kinds of gatherings of these creative people. Then there would be like a little offshoot in places like 44 Stanley.
True, that
kind of thing. Now it's Braamfontein.
Braamfontein is the end all and be all now. Now you don't have to go to all these other places. You just go to Braam and you'll find someone that's into what you're doing. Or
Uber it, you spoiled fees must fall fuckers. Uber it there. Yeah, we know you can afford.
You know? So Braam is that new, is that spot now for all these kids. Yeah.
Well, dude, it's a pleasure to meet you. And
a pleasure to talk to you
properly this morning and get to know you a little bit better. And please give Pashida a hug on your way out. She'll be so excited to meet you. All right. There he is, everybody. It's Stilo Magolide. And I'm going to play out with the song that you wanted me to start with, which everybody wants to hear, called Day Off. Thank you, Stilo. Nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. Have to catch me on my day. There he is. Stilo Magolide. Day off. Day off. Pachida. Tell me what's coming up today on Lerato Shabalala's song.
Oh, it's Woman Crush Wednesday today.
Who you got? Is this where you bring man candy in?
Oh, no, we bring woman candy. Oh, man candy's on Monday, Gareth. Yeah.
Okay, I just thought. Women, so it's Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yes.
All right, so you bring in a girl that you think is superb.
Yes, superb in every way, not just physically.
No, I know.
Yes.
I know.
So we're having tackies from rocking in heels.
Lerato's not as superficial as Mubs, Ben, and I.
So. Oh, she's everything, not just superficial.
Thank goodness for that.
All right, very cool. So who's coming in, you said?
Tackies from rocking in heels.
Very nice.
Yes. Yeah. And then we also focus, the whole month we'll be focusing on breast cancer awareness.
Okay, because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
I'm very aware of breasts.
Oh, Gareth.
Right. Yeah.
What? Was that not the right thing to say?
No, it's perfectly fine. You should be of assistance to your fellow women and offer to help examine.
That is what I try to do, Mubs.
Yeah.
Speaking of being of assistance, listen to this quickly. This is from Gokul, who is at WITS studying actuarial science. I'm emailing you guys to get an update, to give you an update on what's happening at WITS. Today, 4th of October, it was yesterday obviously, we were told by WITS management to go to lectures after a two-week break due to protests. Upon entering the campus, students were met by a group of approximately 600 students rioting. On our way to class, students were thrown with stones by the protesters. Throughout the day, we could hear stun grenades going off in the distance, accompanied by screams. I really don't know why WITS management is endangering the lives of both students and protesters by making us come to campus without securing it. A few policemen were injured during the course of the day, and a police car was overturned. Did you hear about that?
I saw pictures of that on social media.
Several other cars were stoned. There is only one main group of 600 violent protesters. To solve the issue, WITS needs to arrest these problematic people. The majority of students just want to get back to studying for the upcoming final exams. These 600 students stick together as a mob and go around campus causing havoc and destruction. 77% of the students voted for classes to resume on Monday. The university is being held to ransom by a handful of hooligans, although the majority of students do support free education for the poor. Adam Habib, the vice chancellor and principal, has stressed classes need to resume soon or the academic year will be lost, but he doesn't really understand that sooner or later someone is going to get injured or die. That'll escalate the protest to a whole new level. It would be best for campus to stay closed until a resolution is found. Another email sent out by Adam Habib tonight on the 4th of October said that there would be lectures continuing tomorrow under more security. I will email again tomorrow to keep you updated. I love your show. I listen as often as I can. Keep up the good work. Shout out to Michael Flax. He's a legend. Regards, Gokul Kannan.
Well, I look forward to hearing from him tomorrow because, yeah. You know, the news, as I understand it from this morning, is that the decision was taken last night that actually they're going to suspend all academic programs until next week, Monday, because of the situation getting so out of control yesterday.
What a mess.
So.
What a mess. Oy vez mir. All right, let's wrap it up for this morning and hand over to Ari and Kat. They're coming up next on touchcentral.fm. Plenty of good stuff, too, on cliffcentral.com. You can find out by going to the websites, touchcentral.fm and cliffcentral.com. Go and check them out. Or you can follow us on Twitter. But most importantly, today is the day we've decided everyone is going to tell someone else to download the apps. Okay?
Okay.
Everybody, tell somebody. This is your chance to make a difference, and I will report back next week on if we suddenly had a huge growth spurt on Wednesday, the 5th of October. Try it. Ben, you're going to do it, please.
Yes, Gareth, I will. I'll do that today.
All right, Ben, you've got to be a team player here. Flax, are you going to do it?
110%.
All right, I've already received messages from people saying that they're going to make it happen more than once. So that would be great, too. I want to see massive results here. This will show that we have power, that you have power. That the audience that makes the decisions and that makes the changes is the audience that can bring those changes to fruition. So let's do it, everybody. Let's go. Here's the news you need to know this morning. As Halloween approaches, people are clamoring to find a perfect outfit. Early favorites include Harambe the gorilla, Scary Clowns, and Barney the pedophile dinosaur. One costume, said to be a huge hit, is the Coughing Hillary costume. This will no doubt be the scariest costume since that girl came out of the well in the movie The Ring. Over 36 million people have viewed the online video of a guy that was mauled by a grizzly bear recently. Bear attacks have been on the rise in the US ever since Leo DiCaprio won the Oscar instead of the bear in The Revenant. The bear community felt the Academy snubbed them and will keep attacking white people until this travesty is acknowledged. Woo! Finally, SAFA President Danny Yordan believes Bafana Bafana could beat the best team in the world. This just proves that Danny has been doing nothing other than being a bad mayor for the last few years and has completely lost touch with what's happening in soccer. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.